Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. All right, it's 10 a.m. Nigeria time, and of course, as promised, as advertised, we have Kemi Akinfoyefe here with us, the clinical psychologist, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, Lagos. And of course, like I said earlier, the theme for today is the continuation of the COVID-19 country review, and we're looking at the impact of COVID-19 on children. Good day to you, ma'am.
Good day. Glad to be here.
Thank you for doing this with us. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, so how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. That's a wonderful question. Looking at what we have been through the last 1 year, it's been a tough time, but we are still standing strong.
Thank God. Okay, so let's move right into the business of today. We're looking at the impact of COVID-19 on children. And this is the area that I believe receives the least attention in the COVID-19 saga. You know, while everyone is concerned about the virus and everything that comes with it, not enough attention is being paid to the children and their mental welfare in the season. So as a clinical psychologist, can you kindly run us through your areas of expertise before we even go into any level?
All right, so I'm a clinical psychologist, and so that means what I do is I get to speak and talk with people of various ages, different age range, presenting with different psychological issues, ranging from addiction to some mild psychological distress, like stress and what have you, also to the core ones that will talk about depression, anxiety disorders, and quite a few sexual abuse issues, and quite a lot of other challenging situations that people go through.
Wow. I want to believe you've seen it all, because I mean,
can you ever see it all?
It is well. So how long have you been in this field?
All right, so working with Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital have been over 15 years now. It's been a wonderful time being there. Different experiences all over. Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Okay, so looking at from your area of expertise, kindly tell us, is there any emotional or psychological distress that comes with the aftermath of the COVID-19 virus?
Okay, if we're going to look at what the aftermath is going to be, the effect of the COVID-19 in itself, we start looking at what happens before. Because whatever happens before is what is going to lead on to the experiences that people will definitely have as a result of the COVID-19. And so we know that the COVID-19 came, it wasn't planned for, it was unexpected, and so it took control away from a lot of people. And you know one thing about humanity, when you are not in control, it makes you to feel helpless and hopeless. And it brings a lot of frustration, anxiety. It's stressful in itself because you don't even know what and where you are going and what is the next thing that you're going to do. So the COVID-19 itself brought on a lot of feelings of losing control, mood disorders like anxiety, depression, and quite a lot of other challenging things. Yes, financial difficulties and other things like that. But now beginning to look at what the effect is. I remember that why we were in that period, children weren't able to go to school. They were doing online thing, but the online thing wasn't as good as the physical contact that the students had when they went to school, came back, and all the things like that. A lot of children, aside the mood issues that we now see, aside the fear that ranges on in our world now, aside the vulnerability that they had been exposed to because of the uncertainty that now lingers in our world, it's also taking a toll on their concentration and attention, even in school. A lot of them are not able to focus as much as they should on schoolwork, on being able to do. And then, you know, another important area that had even seen the effects is now children are more addicted to phones, the social media, and quite a lot of other things like that. And that in itself is affecting a lot of them in terms of the concentration and attention that we're looking at. So the focus has shifted. They are no longer focusing so much on academics as much as focusing on the social media, focusing on other things like that. And their mind has not been exposed. The truth, again, is their mind has opened to quite a lot of things that their mind shouldn't open to even at this point in time. And that is part of the things that is taking a toll. So most of them are so involved with pornography and a lot of substance and other information that they shouldn't even be exposed to, because they have to go online to do school lessons and all of things like that. So that gave them a lot of opportunity to have access to the internet. And you know, the internet is a place where there are lots of information there, but you have to be wise to be able to decipher which is the right information and which is the wrong information. And so a lot of them have basically wrong information, and that has also affected them in so many ways. And then for some of the children, you know, I talked about mood issues. Some of them have not been able to move past the mood issues, mood challenges that, some were left alone, no company, no association, no friend, no nothing in the midst of the pandemic. Now it's difficult to just bounce back. A lot of children were very vulnerable during this pandemic. And also, it now affected their own feeling, their thought pattern and process. See, it takes a lot to be able to identify what is going on in the mind of a child. It takes a lot to be able to identify how their own thinking process. I recall watching during the lockdown when they said people shouldn't move. We saw some video clips where soldiers were beating people who were on the street. I was meant to go to work, and my son started crying. I said, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, don't go." And I was like, "What is this?" He said, "Soldiers will beat you." And I said, "No, I have an official permit to go to work." But you know, I saw fear written all over me. And then that means he had thought and thought and thought of that video, that simple video clip that we watch on the social media. He had thought and thought about it. And for him, it's like, this is the worst would happen. Some children are still living with such fears now. Some children are still living with the aftermath of being sexually abused, even during the pandemic too. They were left with uncles, they were left with people who naturally they shouldn't have stayed with if they had gone to school. But because they were all there now, some children are going through quite a lot of traumatic experiences as a result of being sexually abused during the pandemic. So a lot of happened, which has also affected their psychological functioning and their ability to be able to read in effectively and even define themselves.
Wow, this is in fact an in-depth analysis of the impact of the COVID-19 on children. And I believe that so many people, and even our listeners, have probably not thought of it like this. Thank you very much for that analysis. Now, looking at everything, it looks like our children might need a mass rehabilitation. Or how can we come out of this? Because if these children are living in fear and some of them are exposed to what they shouldn't be exposed to, and so many other things that you have mentioned, what is the solution to this problem?
You know, unfortunately, in our world, we don't see children as being relevant. Not relevant because they are not important, but we feel that they don't think. And so in making plans and every other thing, we don't think about how do we get children to a place where they can begin to function again? How do we address the issues of the emotional functioning and other things like that? And so we must, as a matter of priority, begin to use, if it's a school, but then importantly, if we're going to use a school, we must also rehabilitate the teachers. We must also get professionals in place that are going to begin to speak to them, explore their fears, explore their mind. We know that the mind of a child, every child is born with a blank slate, which we call the tabula rasa, experiences write on it. And whatever experiences that write on that slate is what the child carries on into life and uses to behave and function and think and do everything. So we must explore to understand what has life written on the mind of this child And then we now begin to help them to understand that this is right, this is not right, this is how it should be. Unfortunately, I tell people, when you look around us now, that 1 year that we were, oh, it's not even up to 1 year though, but in that few months we were locked up and everything, there was so much substance that was helping a lot of people to cope with the fear and every other thing. But now, substance is all over the place, all over the place. And if you now see people smoking, eating, drinking marijuana, like it's the new norm. Unfortunately, yeah. That's like what is happening now. But nobody is even taking time to, like, let's begin to address some of those things. You know, one thing I also say is the fact that even if we go out there now and tell them, oh, substance is not good, a lot of them don't even believe it. Because, you know, there are so many factors that are tied to this thing that we're talking about. It's not just as simple as look. The economy, so many things have to be put in place for proper learning to take place, proper rehabilitation to take place. You know, you start asking them, oh, go back to school. And then they will ask you, go back to school to do what? What are we going to be doing in school? Is there a life after school? Who is going to make provision for feeding and some other things? And so these are some of the issues. So rehabilitation is important, but it has to be an holistic one. It just, the system has to be reviewed. The system has to be upgraded to a point where everybody feels safe, everybody feels loved, everybody feels accepted, and thereby we can push and then we're able to move forward. Recently, I just heard the Americans to give their citizens a kind of palliative, $1,400 or something. And that's going to make it easy for people to now say, oh, we want to move forward. But when people look and there's nothing to move forward to, rehabilitation is difficult. Very, very difficult.
Wow. So from what I've been able to pick up from what you said, it shows that even the environment, the system, the way our system is structured, it also goes a very long way in ensuring that the impact of this COVID-19 is likely minimized for the children.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Well, before we go further, this is a very interesting conversation. Thank you very much, Kemi Akintoyese. All right. So we're still looking at the COVID-19 country review, the impact of COVID-19 on children. And of course, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And if you're wondering who this guest is, we're talking to Kemi Akintoyese. She's a clinical psychologist, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, Lagos. All right. Moving on. Parents who have had the virus are automatically saddled with the responsibility of ensuring the safety of their children. Self-isolation is required as well as other procedures. Now, this puts the children in a vulnerable state. Now, how can situations like this be properly managed in such a way that, you know, it doesn't begin to affect the mental state or, you know, psychological state of these children in such a situation? You know, having to see their parents, not to play the roles and duties of parents because of the COVID-19 virus, of course.
Okay, whatever situation we'll find ourselves in, what I tell people is a function of perception. Okay. How you see it, the interpretation you give to it, that determines how you're going to behave or how well you're going to be able to deal with it. We're able to deal with, there's nothing we can deal with in life. It just requires you to be able to interpret it appropriately and also profile the most appropriate solution. And so every family, every home has something that works for them, rather. So let's look for it and then let's make it work. Not every child or every individual has the same need. And so we must be able to define what is the need here. How can I make it work? What are the things that I can do to ensure that there are no repercussive effects on the child as the parent? You know, we were home. There were days I had to go to work. There were days that my children were home. And on those days, we did bowling in the house. We did so many things. We got bottles and then we shout, we make noise. We made it, you know, but there are ways you could just help yourself, help the children to relieve it. You know, there are folk tales that we will just tell ourselves then. And at least just to pass time and to help them to know that, yes, despite what is going on, the world can still move again. Because that is also going to affect their own problem-solving skills when they get home. Life is always full of challenges. And the things you're able to inculcate into them determines how well they will be able to push through, even when they grow older and they're facing all the challenges. And so it's about you as an individual having skills that would help you to be able to cope. And that way, you're able to pass it on to your children, and they are also able to function. So whatever is happening, the way you see it, the meaning, the interpretation you give to it, help you to be able to pull through that challenge, help you to be able to see. You know what we tell people, when you see it as a problem, then most likely you feel depressed, and you will not even be able to help yourself nor help the children. But when you see it as a challenge, then it puts you on the driver's seat, because you're proactive about it. And you're finding ways and manners by which you can deal with it and deal with it appropriately. And then that way, you're better attuned to working things out and then being able to function effectively.
Beautiful, beautiful. But at the same time, you know, from the example that you gave, use yourself as an example, and the activities you were involved with your children during the lockdown. But, you know, not all parents believe in, you know, relating with their children like that, especially in this part of the world. People still believe that there's a certain way you need to relate with your children in order to be able to, you know, pass across the knowledge and the learnings and the trainings you might want to give to the children. Okay, now that's one. Another thing is, with the COVID-19 virus generally, you know, so many people, even adults, could not handle all the information of the virus, you know, talking about the what the virus could possibly do, how the virus could, you know, break you down and all of that, as well as, you know, so many other things like that. Now, do you think that it is wise letting children have so much information about the virus, talking about what the virus is capable of doing to a human being and whatnot? Do you think it's advisable for the children to have such information? And what do you think that kind of information could possibly do to the mind of such children?
All right, so information has to be age-appropriate. And even sometimes when it's age-appropriate too, you must also understand the personality of the individual that you're giving the information to. You know, as adults, when you're breaking the bad news, there are some people that, even before you finish breaking the news, they will have fainted. There are some that would naturally, hear you out, process it, they're able to deal with it. That's the individual coming into play when you're talking about information. And the same way it goes for children too. There are age-appropriate ways of telling children basic information that would help them to be able to understand it in their own way. And that is the way it is. Otherwise, you're going to be creating a nightmare in the mind of a child. Mm-hmm. And so the child may not even understand what you are saying, but would understand the fears that you have created in his or her mind. And so if you're giving them information, give them the basics. All right, now there is a virus out there that affects most especially the respiratory tract, and it causes people to have a lot of smell and other symptoms, fever and other things like that. But we can be safe if you wash your hands, use sanitizer, use nose mask, coughing to your elbow. But that's the basic. And so for now, we may not be able to do the things that we used to do before. We may not be able to go out to eat tree. We may not be able to go to the parks like we used to, until they are able to get something that would help us to be safe out there again. That information is okay for a child. If you have to dramatize it, dramatize it. You know, if you have to find pictures to explain it that way. They can understand that way when you bring it down to their own level. But when you now make it so scary in the bit to, you know, sometimes people, like, if we don't make it so scary, people will not understand. Sometimes you are creating fear that would end up damaging them rather than even helping them.
I totally agree with, the explanation that you're giving, especially how you package the information for the children. I remember that during the COVID-19, the heat of the COVID-19 virus that was last year, there was this filmmaker and producer, Ani Akimolayo, who animated a story for children to educate them about the COVID-19 virus. I remember it was showing on our TV screens last year, and it was really funny and nice, and it was animated. But you know, I feel like children would understand the gravity of the virus by watching, you know, the animated story or the animated, you know, the COVID-19 virus.
All right, thank you very much.
Wow. Okay, so we are still on the country review of the COVID-19 virus. We're looking at the impact of COVID-19 virus on children. And we're still talking to Kemi Akintoyeshi. She's a clinical psychologist, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, Lagos. And actually, see, you know what it is, it's the spirit of Nigeria Radio.
All right, moving on to, we're running out of time, but
okay, so let me ask this question. With the purchase of the availability of the COVID-19 vaccine in Nigeria, what is your take on children getting vaccinated?
Okay, so that's like a very tough jump question, really, because there are so many opinions out there now concerning the vaccine. I am going to be speaking concerning some of the information that we have now. You know, some countries had stopped it because of seemingly the claimed side effects. And so a lot of things are not too clear when it comes to the vaccine itself. Yes, people who had taken it had said, oh, you have some bit of body pain, joint ache. Some people have slight fever for a day or two, and that is what that can happen. But some other countries around the world have also reported that some people who had taken it had also had blood clots and other things like that. But for me, for children taking it now, until we are absolutely sure, that is it. Until we are absolutely sure that it's totally safe for them, I don't think we should be in a rush. We'll just keep trying to protect them as best as we can to ensure that they are safe out there.
Okay, so you think that the adults should be the ones to get vaccinated?
Yeah, our immune system, our body structure and every other thing might still be able to withstand whatever the negative or the side effects might be for now. Unlike, you remember when we give babies DPT, you know, for 2 days, it's like they become cranky, you know, that kind of effect. I think that is what adults are experiencing now. So if it has that magnitude of effect on adults, then you can imagine what it's going to be like for the younger ones. So let's not be totally sure that this is totally safe for all. There are no side effects that are abnormal in itself. And then I think, yes, why not?
Great. Okay. All right. Now, the last question. In the long run, when normalcy is restored and we've been able to tackle with the COVID-19 as a nation, and of course, maybe the world at large, there is a very strong possibility of a long-term effect, not just on children, but even adults. Now, what are the things that can be done to minimize or alter these effects? You know, you mentioned a couple talking about drug abuse, talking about, you know, children being exposed to the internet and pornography and all sort of things like that. Now, what can we do as a nation, as a people, to minimize this effect?
It's going to take a while to be able to deal with all the effects. But then we must be active, one. We must be consciously ready. You know, there's a difference between ready and being consciously ready. Like, you are taking it up on yourself, that this is the problem and we must tackle it. And so all hands must be on deck to ensure that, yes, the identified psychological and social effects of COVID are tackled. There must be re-education of what life means. Morals and value decadence must be addressed. Substance abuse must be fought. And it must not just be fought with mouth, it must be fought in all ways. The school's education system must also be seen to go back to what it used to be. And everybody must just be on board to ensure that, yes, we do what we need to do to make sure that our world does not collapse. So it's not just the government's responsibility. everybody, the media houses too, will give information. The schools are doing their own. Private organizations are seen to be active. NGOs working, parents working, the church, the mosque. Everybody must be involved to ensure that, yes, our world returns back to, even if it's not what it used to be, at least to have a semblance of normal that will make us be able to enjoy life again and be the best that we can be.
I totally agree with that. And at the end of the day, we commit everything to ourselves and we believe that normalcy will be restored and we can achieve the best of everything. Thank you very much, Kemi Akintoye. Thank you so much for sharing great information with us on the impact of COVID-19 on children, especially in Nigeria. And Kemi Akintoye is a clinical psychologist from Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, Lagos. And of course, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing this with us. All right, please do enjoy the rest of your day, and hopefully we would love to have another conversation with you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye.
Bye.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.